ஓம் சாந்தி. ஸோ லெட் அஸ் ஸ்டார்ட் த செஷன் அண்ட் ஐ திங்க் அதர்ஸ் ஆர் கோயிங் டு ஜாயின் நவ் பிகாஸ் இட்ஸ் ஆல்ரெடி கெட்டிங் நியர்லி 10 minutes டிலே ஆக்சுவலி. ஸோ மே ரிக்வெஸ்ட் தோஸ் ஹூ ஆர் இன் த பேக் டு கம் அண்ட் ஆக்குபை த ஃப்ரண்ட் திங்ஸ். ப்ளீஸ் எவ்ரி ஒன் இன் த பேக் கேன் கம் இன் த ஃப்ரண்ட் அண்ட் சிட் டேக் யுவர் சீட்ஸ் ஹியர். ओके आज सेकेंड डे ऑफ अवर पेपर प्रेजेंटेशन कंटिन्यूएशन है. आज भी हमको 4-5 पेपर्स है प्रेजेंट करने के लिए. सो लेट मी इन्वाइट द प्रेजेंटर्स टू द स्टेज. सो फर्स्ट डॉक्टर पी उदयकला, प्लीज कम एंड टेक यूर सीट. प्रियदर्शिनी, प्रोफेसर डॉक्टर ब्रजेश चंद्र जी, Mrs. Jyothi Pravichandra Patil and Dr. Sunil Ingle. So once again I request those who are in the back can come in the front, please occupy the front things. So today we have about 5 topics which are different areas of research, what our presenters have made it. It is including the imbibed through Rajyoga meditation, a kind of a strategy, and also some kind related with the Bhagavad Gita related things, and one paper will be on the dynamics of the challenges in developing society. And one person is going to talk about the role of woman power in spirituality and ecology. And the last paper could be on the trichoderma, means a biofungicide for organic agriculture actually. So we'll see a very different topics today actually. So there may be some takeaway for all of you from all these things. All of you can come in the front and occupy, please. Let us get into the presentations quickly. So the first person I would like to invite Dr. P. Udayakala. She is the director of CIQA, Department of Chemistry of Dr. MGR Educational Research Institution, Chennai. She is going to talk about on the topic of values imbibed through Rajyoga meditation. What is the strategy to attain a sustainable development and growth actually? So may I invite Dr. P. Udayakala to start your things.
Om Shanti. Good evening to all the elite members and the lucky members who gathered here this evening to brainstorm on the said topic, values imbibed through Rajyoga meditation, a strategy to attain UN Sustainable Development Goals, which we shortly term it as UNSDG. So before setting foot into my presentation, I would like to acknowledge few visionaries of our university, our founder chancellor, A.C. Shanmugam, and our beloved president, Engineer ACS Arun Kumar, who provide us opportunity to explore ourselves, our academic excellence in 360 degree angle in any dimension. Whatever dimension we need, we can explore ourselves. And I would like to extend my thanks to the organizers of SparkWing, Ambika Didi, Shrikant Bhai, and many other people associated with this, and my spiritual sister, Sister Neelima, who is again a zonal coordinator of Tamil Nadu, and one Chota Bhaiji Harsh. I just want to thank him also. Every session, he set right the mic, tod tod hai, idhar aaye. Right, thank you Bhaiji. Okay, so let me move on to my presentation. I would like to give some introduction first about the UNSDG. Of course, Since all our academicians here, professors and research scholars, and I'm sure you are aware about SDGs. See, the UN General Assembly, in association with other UN organizations, set 17 goals, sustainable development goals, with 169 targets to be achieved. The preamble of this agenda, 2030 agenda, says that it creates a new world where the people, planet, everything is prosperous. So, again coming to the teachings of Rajyoga, Rajyoga teachings also says, we are here creating a new world wherein we can live with happiness, peace and prosperity. So, this 2030 agenda is set in the year of 2015, but Rajyoga teaching is right from 1936. So this is where which I try to compare. And objective of today's presentation is, I just want to deepen the understanding of the effects of Rajyoga meditation on transforming the world, aligning with the UN 2030 agenda. And the current research work aims to connect the SDG to the teachings and meditation practice of Brahma Kumaris. So the methodology adopted here, I am not going to deeply dwell into the methodology. Off stage you can ask, but I'll just give a glimpse of the methodology adopted, because it's not an experimental research, it's a documentary research. It's an idea where I throw my idea, or I share my idea to the research scholars and even the retired professors here. This doesn't need any lab experiments or equipments, nothing. It just reviews the already existing document, but we do a content analysis, means interpretation, examinations has been done, and the investigations of findings we do from that. And of course here what I did is a comparative analysis. We normally say it as Murali, as the teachings of Brahma Kumaris, and of course a lot of research papers in UN 2030 agenda, because UN 2030 agenda says it goes into success only this 17 SDGs are set into immense research activities. So this is one such activity among that. So I'll just move on to the next one, and the result analysis, what I compare, I quickly go through the comparison. The first one being the yogic kepi, the yogic forming technique, called tapovan in Brahma Kumaris. So here the yield is far, far better than other forming, including organic forming. So I just connected with the SDG 1 and 2 for no poverty and zero hunger. It's possible through Brahma Kumaris. So that's what which I want to intend here. The next one being soul conscious stage. Right from day one, here you might be keeping on listening in meditations, course, everything. We are souls. Means from here, I could see everyone as the bright shining light. Not your body, not your dress you are wearing. And to say, just 2 days before, I met four of my friends here, my roommate. We just now she told, like, we have been stuck up, like stuck with a fevicol. So this is because we see everyone as a soul. So this is the soul conscious stage, bringing you equality. So reduced inequalities, gender equality. Then the teachings of Rajyoga, it's actually the quality, true quality education. See, today's education is, of course, we all are academicians and we know the state of today's education. So to fill the value-based education, Rajyoga teaching is needed. So here what we learn is the exact quality education, and this gives you creativity. The wisdom which you develop through this knowledge generates creativity. So there comes the agenda, sorry, SDG 9 and 8, right? So I'll move on. So the next one being SDG 13, 14 and 15. Of course, We give a lot of sakash, means blessings, to nature through the commentaries and many other videos. You can just go through. Then, of course, there is a lot of research papers which says Raj Yoga increases the quality of life. The well-being is increased. Then the next one, I just go with the SDG 6, 7 and 12 with the infrastructure of Brahma Kumaris, where the solar, India 1 solar plant, which generates 1 megawatt power, and of course the water treatment as well as the sewage treatment plant. So which goes with the clean water and sanitation, and of course 6, 7 and 12. Now SDG 17 says you have to collaborate with other organizations. So Brahma Kumaris, as you have seen earlier, this slide already you might have seen in many presentations. So we have collaborated with DRDO, of course you can see that, a lot, many premier institutions. And one among that, which I can proudly say is our institution, which is Dr. MGR Educational and Research Institute. We do sign an MOU with SparkWing. So today's presentation is one such activity, making it functional, making the MOU functional. Every year something we have to do to make it functional. So the next one being Om Shanti. From the day where you enter this campus, this word is repeatedly vibrated. I will not say pronounced, it is vibrated in this campus. Means SDG 16, which says peace, justice and an inclusive society. We include everybody, whoever it is, we include everybody. So that SDG is satisfied. And conclusion, I come to my conclusion. The study recommends that the UN 2030 agenda of creating a prosperous planet can be achieved through the learnings and Raj Yoga meditation practice of Brahma Kumaris. So here I just leave everyone to think about it. Each slide, one research paper can be presented. So it is for future generation. Okay, so future research. This research presentation, I leave it to the younger generation, the research scholars. As I said earlier, even the professors who retired can go to nearby center, learn Raj Yoga meditation and then connect it with SDG, which is the need of the hour. Okay, so here are a few references which I did, and questions if any, of course you can ask, but off the stage due to the time constraint. Okay, so thank you so much for listening patiently. Thank you.
So, thank you, Dr. Udayakala. You made a very brief and very clear presentation about what are the SDG steps you take it, and more important is it is giving a scope for many of you to get involved into further research onto this. You could be in any walks of life, but without any kind of equipments, anything, with the documentation itself, you can start doing the things. And contents, if it is there, that is sufficient, and you can get involved into that. So, once again, a nice presentation. Let's give a clap for that. Yeah. Okay, so let me go to the next speaker, Priyadarshini. She's a research scholar from the Heartfulness Institute from Mysore. She's going to talk about the relevance of Bhagavad Gita and heartfulness principles in achieving moderation in action, actually. So let me invite Priyadarshini. Let us give a clap for that.
Om Shanti. Namo Namaha. Sarvebhyaha Namaskaraha. I would like to first express my gratitude to our spiritual global guide, Dr. D. Kamdesh Patel, Heartfulness Institute, and I express my heartfelt gratitude to the organizers of Brahma Kumaris, and I would like to invite my research guide, Professor Rajeshwari Hegde, onto the stage. She is the co-author of my paper. relevance of Bhagavad Gita and heartfulness principles in achieving moderation in action. About Heartfulness Institute, Dr. Kamlesh D. Patel is a force guide, and Heartfulness Institute offers innovative approaches to establish social harmony and peace throughout the world with its presence in more than 160 countries. It involves four core practices, which is helpful for self-transformation, heartfulness relaxation, guided meditation, rejuvenation, and inner connect. Coming to the Bhagavad Gita, which is an ocean which I have to cover in 5 minutes. In one word, if we can say, Bhagavad Gita is an encyclopedia of dharma. It also called Song of the Lord, which has 700 shlokas in 18 chapters. Though it's a tiny part, but it's a lighthouse of the huge epic Mahabharata. And by using these principles, by adopting these principles in the Gita, we'll be able to achieve moderation in action. What is the relevance between the Gita and heartfulness principles? It is said that Lord Krishna transmitted the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna's heart, and with that transmission, he was able to get and reach the highest pinnacle of the consciousness, and that's how he was able to fight against adharma. And he was clear at the end and took the decision on his own with the help of these principles. And that is possible even today when a highest caliber of master who can transmit heart to heart to the disciples, the transformation can happen. So here in heartfulness, it uses a unique feature called yogic transmission or pranahuti, which helps for the transformation of a man. And I am also the project director of Geetopadesh by Heartfulness, where around 4,000 children, youth and adults have received this Geetopadesh program, where it deals with the practical elements in a day-to-day life, and with ease they'll be able to receive these principles and can apply in their lives. The main thing that the Gita says is that about mutual respect, about how we are dependent on each other, and that must be respected, and how giving is very important. Like when we see, since 2 days we are observing the Brahma Kumaris, brothers and sisters, we are only observing this giving. So that's what the Gita says, give with reverence and do not give with irreverence. So this is taken from Taittiriya Upanishad. So what is the purpose of Gita, past, present and future? It talks about the eternal principles. Eternal principles are forever same. They don't change with space and time. So here I would like to quote Sri Adi Shankaracharya. He talks about pravritti lakshanam, nivritti lakshanam, where the two opposite aspects should coexist together. One or two examples if I have to say. We are generous, we are charitable, and we are taking care of the social welfare. If that is not backed by the spiritual wisdom, then the ego develops, then that it is of no use. So that pravritti here is social welfare, nivritti here is the spiritual wisdom, which is shown, one is shown outside, the other one is backed by it, which is within our hearts. And dynamism and peace. We are dynamically successful, but are we at peace? So Bhagavad Gita teaches us to have these things together. I would like to quote one shloka here, which suits the theme, the moderation. Yuktahara viharasya, yukta cheshtasya karmasu, yukta svapnava bodhasya, yogo bhavati dukkha. Lord Krishna talks only about four aspects if we follow in our life. If these four aspects are regulated, then yoga becomes the destroyer of sorrows. The ahara, the food we take, we consume, the vihara, the enjoyment, the recreation that we have, and the swapna, regulated sleep, karma, the action. These four, if we can manage and regulate day in and day out, then that itself is yoga. And how? There is a beautiful concept of sustainability and mutual dependence where Gita talks. Here is Anad Bhavanti Bhutani Parjanyad Anna Sambhavaha Yajnyad Bhavati Parjanyaha Yajnyah Karma Samudbhavaha. There is a beautiful cycle that is being followed in this particular shloka, where everything starts from the beings, starts from Brahman, and the imperishable Brahman, again from there the action starts, the yajna, by performing the yajna, the rains come. Because of the rains, the food we receive. And it is a cycle, and if we are breaking that cycle, that's when imbalance occurs. This we always have to remember, only then. It also talks about sustainability and individual harmony. Each and every one of us play a role to establish individual harmony, then there establishes universal harmony. And yeah, we are all hearing about Stita Prajna state. How to arrive at Stita Prajna state? Just by recitation or by mere reading of Bhagavad Gita, we cannot achieve Stita Prajna state. We have to live those principles of Gita to arrive at that highest state. So here in Gita Upadesh, we have combined the ancient principles with experiential meditation techniques that will help the man to reach the state of Stita Prajna. And yes, I am concluding here. I express my heartfelt gratitude to Brahma Kumari's organization for this opportunity. And this is my email ID, and our Heartfulness Institute email ID, you can make a note. If you have any questions, you can reach out to me off the stage. Thank you so much.
Thank you. My heartfelt gratitude to Brahma Kumaris for giving us the opportunity to present our paper. Thank you. Thank you, Anand.
So, thank you, Priyadarshini, for giving us a deep understanding about the Gita and Gita principles and how the cycle is very important, and connecting that with the day-to-day modernist action, how it is important to implement also. It is not going through the chanting the mantra, but implementing it is very important. Thank you very much. We'll move to the next speaker, Professor Dr. Vijesh Chandra. He is from the Institute of Social Sciences, Agra University. And it is Agra Constitutional and Sansadiya Sansthan, and he is an executive member of Vidhan Parishad, UP. He is going to talk about the dynamics and challenges in developing society. What is a paradigm shift in roles and structure? So let me invite Professor Chandra.
On the onset of the whatsoever I have written about it, it takes me back to a long experience. But welcome all of you who have taken pains to come here and to listen to different point of views about the society and the future course of action. Our problem is that looking back to my academics of 42 years, I have gone through several very difficult subjects because I am from social sciences. So somebody asked me a question, what is your discipline? So without a discipline, nothing can happen now. So I said sociology, but that is not enough. Then the social takes us to what? Then to criminology. And then further to victimology. So this is how a macro study was converted into a micro study, and then I specialized in that. So Professor Chokalingam, if any of you know him from Madras University, he is my colleague, and he was Vice Chancellor also. Anyway, to move further, because very short time has been allotted because of constraints. How we understand the society and what is the dynamics of change? What is the dynamics? A society is not a static thing which can be defined or which can be explained or which can be taken very lightly. No. The change has to be planned now. You have to plan the change. And what I feel is that visiting so many hospitals, so many places in the world, I have come to one conclusion, that with a allopathy or homeopathy or naturopathy or so or so and so, a parallel thing is also going. I was somewhere in the Hope Hospital, where I saw the figures, then somewhere music, somewhere something. So, all of all, in the final version of it, what it comes to us, that now, only the medical science is not enough for a human being. It is finally decided that you must have some alternate also. And people are following it. My friend from Heartfulness is there, so she knows how to do it. What is there? I quote you. There was a story in Puran that a mouse, a small creature, he went into Ganesh. Lord came to bless him. He said that, sir, I am very much afraid of cats. So make me a cat. He said, okay, become a cat. Again, after some time, he started thinking about it. Then he again did the same practice. Again the Lord came and said, that, okay, what do you want now? He said, sir, I want to become a dog. So the cats are scared of me. Finally, the things came that he went to tiger and then tiger to men. And finally he said, okay, sir, becoming a man, we are so much afraid about our life, which was not in the initial stage. So it's better that I go back to my own yoni and then I live further. So what today will happen, or it is happening everywhere, you will see that there is a cultural resistance. There is a resistance in the culture. The different cultures, which was very far away from us, now has come to this laptop. You can go through so many things and you feel like that it is better, it is best, it is not, it is yes, it is yes or no. Similarly, the social inequality in society, it will keep on increasing day by day. Socially, it is not economic. It is not financial. It is not political. It is social. Social inequality is coming in society, which will have very tremendous and deep results. The further is our educational disparity. You will see that all the time, sir, we see that how many PhD, how many D.L.E.D.s, how many laureates, how many people are from which area. So then we start dividing that they are from Bengal or they are from South India. We never say that they are from North India or not, and why not. So this is one of the words. The further, there's one thing which nobody can deny, is displacement of the demography from one place to another. Because now traveling has become very easy. So you have come from the South India, I am from the North India, from Agra. So we can distinguish very easily that how we are different because of this. This lives with us. And finally, we get confused that what is good, what is bad. The other thing which is very, very precarious is the gender inequality. We thought that with the development of the society, this will abolish. And instead, in that way, in that positive way, it has taken to a negative result. Now the disparity has converted into violence. Previously it was not like this. There was a complete harmony. For this I have given a figure, which I hope it is not projected. No. So, now, what will happen to the new societal structure? To be very precise, I hope I am not... It's very precise. Our society is divided into structure and culture. So structure. Structure is divided into two parts. One is microstructure, which is your family structure or your kinship structure. And one is macro, in which you are living and we are also living. Similarly, there is two types of culture. One culture belongs to us. We say this is our culture. Any of the Indian can say that, no, we have a harmonious in this culture. No, it is not like that. Similarly, we have so many problems in this way that the structure, it will be affected by two very major things. Number one, something coming from the other one will be coming from the outside of the society. Kuch aisa hoga jo hamare hi samaj mein se nikal raha hoga, hamari society mein se nikal raha hoga aur humko affect kar raha hoga, aur kuch aisa hoga jo bahar se aayega aur hum log usko follow karne lagenge bina ye soche samjhe ki ye hamari society ke liye fit hai ya nahi hai. So what I say is that the day is not far when yoga or meditation, so and so forth, will become parallel system for curing the human society. And this is what the small communities, I'll take few seconds, community, that is Robert Redfield has written about it, the little community where we are today from last 4 or 5 days, it is a little community. Similarly, sister from Bangalore, she was talking about that, they also have a small community. We have started again living in the same community system with a very broad version for the whole of the universe. We can think as we are and we can think as the others are. So the comment made about it, that you are unique, I am also unique, it was yesterday or day after, I don't remember exactly, but we all are unique and we have to adopt the new technologies which are coming, and that meditation, yoga, call it by any name, it will become essential and we have to follow it. Thank you very much. Om Shanti.
So, thank you, Dr. Brijeshchandra ji. You really highlighted what are the challenges for this developing society in social point of view, or even the displacement in demography, or the gender inequality, or the cultural differences. And it's a good eye-opener, as well as you also talking about the new technology in terms of the yoga and meditations, which can provide solutions for that. Thank you once again. Let us go to the next paper. Mrs. Jyoti Ravichandra Patil. She's a research scholar from MJ College, Jalgaon, KBCNMU, Jalgaon. She's going to talk about the topic of role of woman power in spirituality and ecology. So let me invite Jyoti.
Myself, Jyoti Ravichandra Patil. I am from MJ College, Jalgaon, KBC, NMU University, Jalgaon. मेरा संशोधन का विषय है अध्यात्म और पर्यावरण में स्त्री शक्ति की भूमिका. आज भौतिकवादी युग में हम पर्यावरण संकट देखते आ रहे, कितना भयावह स्वरूप वो ले रहा है. आज की स्थिति यहाँ तक पहुँच गई है कि जो जीवन के लिए अनिवार्य है, जल, स्थल, वायु,
वो प्रदूषण से ग्रस्त है। पर्यावरण और आध्यात्मिक का ये अंतर संबंध हमारे लिए कोई नई बात नहीं है, क्योंकि हम सदियों से पेड़, पर्वतों, नदियों से पूजा करते आ रहे हैं। हमें अपने जीवन में शांति लाने के लिए हमें पर्यावरण संरक्षण करना होगा। पर्यावरण का संरक्षण भी एक प्रकार का आध्यात्मिक सशक्तिकरण है। मेरा ऐसा मानना है कि पर्यावरण संरक्षण के द्वारा हम आध्यात्मिक सशक्तिकरण कर सकते हैं, क्योंकि स्वच्छ और स्वस्थ पर्यावरण से ही हमें शांति मिलती है। और यह अनुभव तो हम सर स्पार्कलिंग में आए प्रोफेसर डॉक्टर कर रहे हैं। यहाँ पे जो पर्यावरण है और यहाँ जो शांति मिलती है वो शांति हमें बाहर महसूस नहीं होती। अध्यात्म और पर्यावरण में जो घनिष्ठ संबंध है और इसमें स्त्री शक्ति की जो भूमिका है वो अत्यधिक महत्वपूर्ण है। भारतीय संस्कृति ने हमेशा स्त्री शक्ति को सृजनशीलता और संरक्षक का प्रतीक माना है। स्त्री शक्ति पराशक्ति सर्व जगता प्रतिष्ठता, स्त्री शक्ति ही रूपेशा स्थिता सर्व जगत प्रति, अर्थात स्त्री शक्ति सबसे बड़ी शक्ति है, वो सारे संसार की आधार है। स्त्री शक्ति के रूप में सारे संसार में और स्त्री शक्ति स्थित है। मेरे अनुसंधान के उद्देश्य है अध्यात्म और पर्यावरण संरक्षण के संबंध में स्त्रियों की भूमिका का अध्ययन करना। भारतीय परंपराओं में स्त्री शक्ति की आध्यात्मिक महत्वत्व को उजागर करना। पर्यावरणीय संरक्षण में स्त्रियों के योगदान को रेखांकित करना। वर्तमान समय में पर्यावरणीय संकट के समाधान में स्त्री शक्ति की भूमिका का विश्लेषण करना, ये मेरे अध्ययन के उद्देश्य है। मेरे अनुसंधान की परिकल्पना है कि स्त्रियों की आध्यात्मिक दृष्टिकोण का पर्यावरण संरक्षण में योगदान होता है। भारतीय संस्कृति में स्त्री शक्ति को एक सृजनशीलता और पर्यावरण के रक्षक में रूप में देखा जाता है। महिला प्रकृति के साथ जुड़कर प्रकृति की शक्ति और सौंदर्य को समझ सकते हैं। महिला प्रकृति की रक्षा के लिए प्रेरित हो सकती है और दूसरों को प्रेरित भी कर सकती है। ध्यान और योग अभ्यास के माध्यम से अपने मन और अपने शरीर को वो शुद्ध कर सकती है, और योग और ध्यान के माध्यम से वो प्रकृति के बीच अंतर संबंध बना सकती है। महिला पर्यावरण संरक्षण में योगदान करती है और परिवार और सारा समाज के लिए वो प्रकृति की रक्षा करने के लिए सबको प्रेरित और प्रोत्साहित कर सकती है। पर्यावरण संरक्षण में हम इतिहास की ओर जाए तो हमें ये पता चलता है कि हमारे जो त्योहार है, रीति रिवाज है, और ये पर्यावरण पूरक है। फॉर एग्जाम्पल, सुबह उठते ही महिला तुलसी पूजा, हर तीज, हरतालिका, हमारे महाराष्ट्र में होती वट पूर्णिमा, ये सारे उदाहरण पर्यावरण और स्त्री में अंतर संबंध बनाए रखते हैं। वैदिक काल में देखा जाए तो दुर्गा माँ और शेर, महाकाली और स्मशान। महाकाली और स्मशान ये तो प्रकृति के जीवन मृत्यु के चक्र के संबंधों को दर्शाते हैं। हिमालय और पार्वती ये प्रकृति की शांति और स्थिरता का प्रतीक है। महालक्ष्मी और कमल ये प्रकृति का समृद्धि का प्रतीक है। इन उदाहरणों से ये पता चलता है कि स्त्री शक्ति का प्रकृति के साथ बहुत ही घनिष्ठ संबंध है। पर्यावरण की शक्ति, संरक्षण, सुंदरता और समृद्धि को ये दर्शाता है। आज की बात की जाए तो अमेज़न की स्त्रियों ने सदियों से जंगल की रक्षा की, वहां पौधों और जानवरों की भी रक्षा की, संरक्षण किया। अफ्रीका में भी स्त्रियों ने महत्वपूर्ण भूमिका पर्यावरण के बारे में निभाई है। भारत में तो आपको पता ही है, चिपको आंदोलन, बिश्नोई आंदोलन, नर्मदा बचाओ आंदोलन, जैविक खेती, मध्य प्रदेश का वन संरक्षण आंदोलन, साइलेंट वैली आंदोलन, गंधगर्भ आंदोलन, ये सारे प्रकृति को बचाने के लिए एक महिलाओं ने ये आंदोलन किए गए महिलाओं द्वारा ये आंदोलन किए गए हैं। इससे ये पता चलता है कि आज और भविष्य में आगे के लिए भारतीय महिला का योगदान बहुत ही पर्यावरण संरक्षण के लिए बहुत ही महत्वपूर्ण होगा। और पर्यावरण शिक्षा, सामुदायिक नवनीति, न्यू पॉलिसी, टेक्नोलॉजी, इनके माध्यम से और योग और ध्यान के माध्यम से प्रकृति के संबंध में वो अपनी भूमिका महत्वपूर्ण बजा सकती है। मेरे अनुसंधान से एक कंक्लूजन निकलता है कि श्री शक्ति आध्यात्म और पर्यावरण के बीच एक गहरा संबंध साझा करती है और श्री शक्ति की भूमिका ध्यान और योग के द्वारा समाज में सामंजस्य और स्थायित्व को बढ़ावा देने में महत्वपूर्ण भूमिका निभा सकती है। धन्यवाद। मैं तहे दिल से स्पार्कविंग के आयोजकों का शुक्रिया अदा करती हूँ कि उन्होंने यहाँ पर मुझे पेपर प्रेजेंटेशन करने का मौका दिया। धन्यवाद। थैंक यू
फॉर गिविंग योरसेल्फ रोल ऑफ वुमेन्स एंड द सिग्निफिकेंस ऑफ हाउ डीप इट इज इम्पोर्टेंट टू कनेक्ट विद आत्मिकता एंड साइकोलॉजी। एक्चुअली इट्स वंडरफुल। सो लेट मी गो टू द नेक्स्ट स्पीकर। डॉक्टर सुनील इंगले इज ए प्रोफेसर Dr. Punjab Rao Deshmukhi Krishi Vidyapeeth Akola. He is going to talk about trichoderma, a bifungicide for organic agriculture actually. So it's a new topic. Let me listen to that. Okay. Sarimai.
Thank you. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Mujhe pata hai, aap abhi tired hue hai. I will sum up within a few minutes, but it is a very important topic, the organic agriculture. So as you know that the agriculture is a very important, so in relation to our conference topic also, so as jaise ki हार्मोनी होनी चाहिए तो अपन दो दिन से सारे सेशन कर रहे हैं और उसमें दो एडिशनल बल्कि नहीं दो तो चार है जो कि लंच ब्रेक ब्रेकफास्ट एंड टी है। अगर उसमें से एक भी सेशन मिस होता है तो अपने आप में हार्मोनी खत्म हो जाती है। सो दैट इज द ब्यूटी ऑफ द एग्रीकल्चर। सो आई एम वेरी मच थैंकफुल टू द प्रशांत भाई एंड हिज होल टीम जिन्होंने मुझे यहां प्रेजेंटेशन का मौका दिया और मैं तहे दिल से उनका आभारी हूं। दूसरी बार मैं मेरे शारीरिक भाई यहाँ पे जो सेवा दे रहे हैं अनिल भाई इंगड़े, उनका भी मैं आभारी हूँ क्योंकि उनके सिवा मैं इस ज्ञान सरोवर में डुबकी लगा नहीं पाता, जो कि मैं पिछले दो दिन से इस ज्ञान सरोवर में ज्ञान की अनुभूति कर रहा हूँ, नहीं राजयोग और दिव्य ज्ञान की अनुभूति हो रही है। आपने सुना ही है, सो इन दी inaugural session, so every speaker told about the dharti and prakruti, isn't it? So the dharti and prakruti is nothing but the agriculture, it is related to totally agriculture. So dupair ke session mein ek speaker ne kaha ki agar vikasit bharat banana hai to सक्षम भारत उसका एक कंपोनेंट है और सक्षम भारत का उन्होंने बताया कि पहला कंपोनेंट है रोटी और मकान कपड़ा और दिस ऑल केम फ्रॉम द एग्रीकल्चर। सो इट इज वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट टू सी द हेल्थ ऑफ द एग्रीकल्चर, हेल्थ ऑफ अवर सॉइल। सो नावेडे we are using the lot of pesticide and that's why the our food came through this chemical agriculture, it is very dangerous and it is very poisonous, so it creates the illness or the diseases like the cancer in human being. So it is very important to go the our Vedic agriculture, that is the organic agriculture. In Hindi it is called as the Jaivik Kheti, or in Marathi it is called as Sendriya Sheti. So there are the various component of the organic agriculture. So in our university, Dr. PDKV Akola, so our honorable vice chancellor has started the one project on the organic agriculture, and I am one of the part and parcel of that project, and I am working on the microorganisms, that is the beneficial microorganisms, and that name of that microorganism is Trichoderma. This is the fungus, one beneficial fungus is there, and the due to this Trichoderma, that name of that fungus is Trichoderma. So we can replace the chemical fungicide जो कि plant पे आने वाले diseases को जो रोग आते हैं उस पे, जैसे human being में diseases होते हैं वैसे ही plant में diseases होते हैं, और उसको ठीक करने के लिए Trichoderma, it is a one antagonistic fungus, means it is our friend. It is a friend. So we can use this Trichoderma for the management of the diseases on the plant. So what is the situation of disease? Disease kya hai in the plant? So like in human being, so in plant also there is the triangle. One triangle is there. There is the environment, then susceptible host and the virulent pathogen, जो कि रोग कारक entities है. For example, fungus है, bacteria है, viruses है, prions है, viroids है, these are nematodes है, these are the number of components that seeks the plant, and we have to manage that pathogen with the help of the, nowadays the farmers are using the undiscriminate use of the pesticide, and due to the effect of that pesticides, there will be the high yield is there, but there is the poisonous food material or that toxic residues will come from the that foods. So there is the this is the one biological agent, that is the Trichoderma. It looks like, if you see under microscope, so it looks like this. And why we go for the biological control? Because it is a non-toxic to human and animal, even for our environment. It not pollute the environment, as well as it is a host specific, and only effect on the target species, not for all. But if we use the poison, so it kills the non-target entities also. So that's why we go for the. So this is the Trichoderma. This is the academics of this Trichoderma. I will not go in detail with this. So, but it was first found or first observed in the Germany in 1671 by the great scientist, that is the Persoon, in 218 years ago. So why Trichoderma? Why we choose this Trichoderma? Because it is a very effective biological agent. It may substitute for the chemical fungicides. It is a free living organisms. You can observe everywhere. So मैंने श्रीकांत भाई को भी बताया कि अगर आप यहाँ आपके एग्रीकल्चर एंड रूरल डेवलपमेंट विंग में अगर ऑर्गेनिक खेती आप करते हो, तो आई विल गिव दिस Trichoderma, दैट कल्चर, मदर कल्चर, और उसकी बनाने की मैं आपको प्रोसीजर भी बताऊंगा, जे क्योंकि चूंकि सारे गांव के आजू बाजू के लोग और अपने ज्ञान सरोवर और माउंट आबू में इसका प्रसार हो जाएगा. सो दिस लुक लाइक्स, This is the taxonomic position. It is, I will not go in detail, but it looks like if we isolate it in the laboratory, in the pure forms, and it looks like this. This is the, again, microscopic feature of this organism, friendly organism. So we are using this Trichoderma as a biofungicide. So why we use this? Because they are having the, uski bahut sari qualities hai, jiske karan apan uska utilization kar sakte hai. So it is the, again, its mechanism, how it works. So it produces some of the important enzymes that is called as secondary metabolites, and through which it controls the pathogen which is present in the soil, and that causes diseases to the plants. It also acts as a plant growth promoter. Iske bahut sare fayde hai. Aur isko banane ki kruti kya hai, procedure kya hai. So this is, we can easily isolate it from the soil. It is available in everywhere, and we can multiply it in the laboratory, and we can use it. So substrate for mass multiplication, isko बहुत ज्यादा तादाद में बनाने की जो कृति है, प्रोसीजर है, इट इज ऑल्सो वेरी सिंपल. सो यू कैन यूज दी अवर वेस्ट मटेरियल दैट इज अवेलेबल इन दी फील्ड, वी कैन यूज दैट वेस्ट मटेरियल फॉर इट्स मल्टीप्लीकेशन. उसको मेथड ऑफ एप्लीकेशन, हाउ टू मल्टीप्लाई, हाउ टू अप्लाई इट. सो एज ए सीड ट्रीटमेंट यू कैन अप्लाई इट. सो देयर डोज इज, इट मे बी 4 to 5 gram पर केजी ऑफ सीड्स. सो थ्रू इच you can apply. Yes. Yes, sir. So this is about the Trichoderma. So we can use it as a seed treatment, soil treatment, or even the seedling treatment. So like this, we can use this Trichoderma for the management of the various diseases in the organic farming. So हमने, मुझे यहाँ बताते हुए बहुत खुशी होती है कि हमारे यूनिवर्सिटी ने एक योगिक खेती का, जो कि हमारे अकोला से दीदी आती है हमारे फार्म में, और वहां योगिक खेती करती, हमने फार्मिंग का प्रयोग चालू किया है. तो उसके रिजल्ट अभी आने बाकी है. तो जैसे ही उसके रिजल्ट आते हैं, सो आई विल कम टू दिस ज्ञान सरोवर एंड प्रेजेंट दैट द रिजल्ट ऑफ दैट योगिक खेती और योगिक फार्मिंग इन फ्रंट ऑफ यू. सो अगेन आई एम थैंकफुल to the Spark members and your patience audience. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Sunilji. You have really thrown some light on what this biofungicide with respect to chemical fungicide, what's the differences and how it is useful, and it can make the soil more fertile, and how it is important to cultivate more organic agriculture actually. Thank you once again, and let us give a big applause to all the presenters who made their views in a right way and in a essence way actually. So let us give a big applause to them. So let me invite sisters to give some godly gift, and then finally we'll go with some 1-minute meditation and conclude the session actually.